And there's nothing more exciting than when you look in your bulletin and see that the pastor's going to be preaching about Leviticus. It's everybody's favorite book, right? So our first scripture reading today was from the book of Exodus. And in it, we learn a little bit more about who God is and who the Israelites are. So only 3 months or so have passed since Israel marched with dry feet through the Red Sea. But already, after only 3 months, God felt compelled to start reminding both Moses and the people of Israel of what God had done for them. The amazing thing about this text to me is that it took God 3 months to say something, because that train started to run off the tracks almost immediately after crossing the Red Sea. The Israelites were just 3 days into the wilderness when they first complained to God. No water! They traveled another 42 days before complaining about the wilderness cuisine. No food! And the complaining never stopped. Each time God faithfully provided for the people, but that didn't stop their grumbling and worrying for long. So just 3 months after they began what would turn into a 40-year journey, God needed to remind them of who God is and who they were called to be as God's people. Remember, God had already done all the hard work, orchestrating the plagues, guiding the angel of death, parting the waters, crafting a pillar of cloud and fire, making water spring from the ground and food fall from the sky. God was as consistent in faithfulness as they were in unfaithfulness. And the hardworking God asked only two things of these newly freed Israelites: obey my voice, keep my covenant. Did you notice what God asked of the people? He said, obey my voice. God doesn't say here, obey my commandments. Although in the next little bit, the next chapter, we'll see God giving the gift of the Ten Commandments to the people. And we're going to talk about that some next week. This is a reminder, obey my voice, that our God is an eternally relational God. God doesn't call us to simply obey a list of rules, but to follow a living voice, that of the Holy Spirit. The way that we remain faithful isn't by checking off a list of do's and don'ts. That might be a little bit easier. I love a good list. But by paying attention, by listening for God's voice and following. God goes on to tell Moses that if the people are faithful and true to the covenant, they will be God's most precious people on the whole earth, a priestly kingdom, a holy nation, serving on behalf of God. So when the people live into who they're created to be, called to be, when we live into who we're created and called to be, we will be priests or intercessors for the entire world. That's the role of a priest, helping others to know how to be in relationship with God, our King. We will be a holy nation, a community set apart by God's love and by our obedience. Those are beautiful and heavy responsibilities. Moses, after hearing these words from God, went down the mountain and called together the elders of the people and shared God's words with them. And it seems that the Israelites believed they could change, that they could be the people that God wanted them to be. So that's why, in response to God's seemingly simple two requests, the people boldly declared, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Well, I guess they had good intentions. Perhaps, had Israel actually been able to honor those two requests, there would have been no need for the Ten Commandments or the more than 600 commandments that eventually followed, or the remaining 39 years and 9 months of wandering in the wilderness. But they didn't do that. They didn't honor those two requests, nor did they stop complaining. And so for the duration of their travel, between Egypt and the promised land, the Israelites neither obeyed God's voice nor kept the covenant. At least they were consistent. Our second scripture today jumps ahead in the story. It's taken from the book of Leviticus. And this interaction between God and the people takes place after the Israelites have been journeying for a while. The book of Leviticus is this kind of 27 chapter to-do list for Israel's life together as they journey to the promised land. And it really provides us with an intimate look at how things were going in the wilderness. The short answer is, not well. The Exodus text that we heard falls early in the wilderness wanderings. This Leviticus text falls later. It follows the construction of the tabernacle, the building, the portable tent building that God instructed them to construct to hold the Ark of the Covenant, to be the place where God would dwell as they wandered in the wilderness. And in this brief portion from the Leviticus, God is exasperated to exhaustion with Israel. God has continually been faithful, and Israel has continually failed to be faithful. So in a justifiable fit of anger, God warned that they would be scattered among their enemies, that the land they had promised would be lie desolate. And then there's this moment in these verses where I can almost hear God sigh, shaking off the anger, remembering, self-reflecting. Yet for all that, I will not spurn, abhor, or destroy them. After all, I am God. I will remember in their favor. And then again, after another audible sigh, you've done this kind of self-talk, haven't you? You've reminded yourself of who you're supposed to be. God says, I am the Lord. When God says that, God is remembering, I am a God of love and mercy, steadfast love that never ends, even when these people are on my last nerve. And as happened post-flood, when God tossed a bow into the clouds as a reminder that he would never again destroy all of creation with a flood, God remembers. God remembers not the sins and foolishness and unfaithfulness of Israel and its leaders, but God's own true identity. I am God. I am the Lord. I don't destroy those whom I love. Have you heard the saying, when people show you who you are, believe them the first time? God has shown us who God is. Faithful, forgiving, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And here's the thing, we have also shown God who we are, constantly, for millennia. And still, God chooses to believe who we can be, not who we have made ourselves, but the people God made us to be. God keeps hoping for more. And when we live into those hopes, when we obey God's voice, beautiful things happen. As we become holy priests, following our king, bringing blessings to others. Sadly, at the end of the day, we can't always live up to the promises we've made to God. We fail time and again. And so we rely on God's great love, a love that was best demonstrated by the fact that when we continue to fail, God came to earth in the person of Jesus to show that God would rather die than be separated from us. Presbyterian minister Reverend Fred Rogers, you probably know him better as Mr. Rogers, says it this way. I believe that at the center of the universe, there dwells a loving spirit who longs for all that's best in all of creation, A spirit who knows the great potential of each planet as well as each person, and little by little will love us into being more than we ever dreamed possible. That loving spirit would rather die than give up on any one of us. Our sin, our failure to obey God's voice, has consequences. It has consequences for us in our own lives. It has consequences for others. It has consequences even for the generations after us. We see this in the Israelites' journey. We see it in our own lives. As God journeyed with the Israelites, there were times when God grew frustrated and angry with them, and he warned them what would befall them because of their disobedience. In fact, he lists several different consequences for continued failure to follow. But even then, God remembered God's nature, God's love. We are called to obey God's voice, to listen to the Spirit through time and prayer and silence, through diving into Scripture, through listening to God's voice that speaks through others around us. In creation, so many ways that God is always at work trying to get us to listen. We don't do that, we come to harm inside, and sometimes there are other consequences. But even then, even when we fail to obey, even when we are the farthest thing from a priestly kingdom or a holy nation, God forgives and loves and calls us back to try again. Thanks be to God who remembers. Amen. You know, each week in our service, we have an invitation to respond. And this is a special time. And I'm always intrigued by the ways in which Scripture speaks to me exactly where I need to be spoken to. So for some of us today, these scriptures are a call to repentance, to recognize that we have not been following God's voice. For some, it may be that you have never learned what God's voice sounds like in your life, but you want to. You want to follow Jesus, who loves each of us so much that he gave his life to demonstrate that love and face death and was resurrected so that we don't have to face eternal death and separation from God. For many of us here in this place, we've already made that decision, but God is calling us to more. We need to listen. Some of us may need to hear from these scriptures a different word. We may know full well our own sinfulness, failure, but we may need to be reminded that in the midst of that, we have a God who is faithful and who loves us and who likes us. And I hope if that's you, you have heard those words, that you will open your heart to that. You may be looking for a church home, one that walks this journey together as we strive to listen and as we remind each other that we are loved. Love to welcome you. As we sing together, Jesus calls us. I invite you to respond where you are or to come forward, and I would love to pray with you about your response. Be seen as we sing.